I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts. Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, hey, hey. It's a sunny day. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are starting out this hour talking about starting succulents from cuttings. And I'm very excited, Ton, that you've got Sheridan Hansen to join us this morning.
Yeah, I was a little worried. Her phone was going to voicemail, so I'm glad we got through and everything's good. So, is she there?
Good morning, Sheridan.
Good morning. I'm here. Yeah, I had my phone set on some weird setting that I didn't realize.
No, it's called Ton is calling. I think it's. I was trying to call you, and you've got it set to go either to just reject or to voicemail.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
it's
I
all
totally
good.
Messed up. Gave Ton a total heart attack. So, no, I'm here, and I'm happy to be here. So, thanks, guys.
So, Ton's told me that you are a great skier and that you like spending your Saturday morning skiing, and he's been promising to try to get you on the show for weeks now. So, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us this morning.
Yeah, happy to be here. Yeah, and I guess the canyons are pretty backed up, so I'm not missing anything. So
no, it would take you quite a while to get up there right now.
Yeah.
So Sheridan, let's talk about, I know that you have done this in your greenhouse. You've started succulents from cuttings. And so if someone wants to do this, so this week on our greenhouse Facebook page, I posted some of my little succulents that are growing, but I don't know. I'm just an experimental gardener. I don't have any knowledge. You know, I've not studied how to start. Well, that's not true. I've researched a lot online on how to start succulents. But if somebody really is into succulents and they really want to start succulents from cuttings, what would be your advice for them?
Well, it's really easy to do, and we're all experimental gardeners, so you're not alone in that. I mean, a lot of the things I do, and I've studied and done all this stuff, and a lot of the stuff I do is still experimental, too, in my mind. But so very easy to do. If you've got a succulent that has stretched or elongated or it's old, a lot of the times at the very end of that stem will still be a pretty tight little rosette. So you can just take scissors. And you can cut that stem, give yourself a couple of inches below where that little rosette is on the end. And then you're going to strip the leaves off underneath that rosette. You're going to leave the tight ones up at the top and then strip everything off of the stem. And then you're just going to take some nice potting mix. You can use a desert cactus mix if you would like. A lot of the times when I'm rooting succulents, I don't worry too much about the mix. I'll start with just a regular potting mix because I do need it to hold a little more moisture while we start roots. And then I will just stick it, just that stem that I've stripped the leaves off with the little rosette, I'll stick it right down into a container that is well-draining with that soil in it. And then I will let it sit in a nice sunny spot. I water it in, and I'm going to water it about once every week. And it's amazing what happens. Everywhere where one of those leaves were that you stripped, you're going to get new roots coming out. So it will essentially send out this whole new root system. On that stem, and you can save a plant that has elongated. And then all of the leaves that you stripped, you can actually start cuttings or new succulents, new plants from those leaves. We call them leaf cuttings. And even though we didn't cut them, you can lay them just in a tray with soil, and you can water it every now and then, about every 7 to 10 days, and you will see roots start to form from the base of the leaf, and you'll also get a new rosette starting to form at the base of the leaf. And it's pretty amazing how it happens. They're so well adapted to these leaves popping off and starting new plants. It's kind of the coolest thing ever, but so easy to do.
Right. I have taken a variety of different leaf cuttings. They don't all reproduce. That's for sure. So you have to kind of set yourself up for that. Make sure you're not setting your expectations too high. And it does take a bit of time for these things to start growing.
It does. And, you know, you're going to have faster results with the stem cuttings, like where you've taken that rosette and stripped the stem. It's going to happen for you a lot faster, where the leaf cuttings take quite a bit more time. And like you said, not all of them will root. So I tend to start with a lot more than I need. And then, you know, we've got several that will die or just won't do very well. And I end up probably with about half of my tray taking. So know that there is a rate of failure, and it's not your failure. It's just that the plant doesn't want to or doesn't have the means to produce. So
I'm still working on that. You will psychotherapy have success. For my failures.
<I know.
laughs> Sheridan,
right, we all need a little bit of that.
One thing I noticed about you cover, how are you covering your plants?
Right. So you can cover with the leaf cuttings, I cover for sure. You can use plastic wrap, just like Saran wrap, over the top of the tray, or you can use one of those humidomes, which is like a clear plastic dome that goes over, you know, like a big tray of starts, like with pony packs. You can use one of those. It just kind of holds the humidity in a little bit while things get going. We don't want to keep it really extra moist in there because succulents like, you know, dry, arid conditions. But we do want to hold a little moisture so that as those roots start to emerge, especially from those leaf cuttings, that they have some moisture to work with and that they can get down into the soil before they dry out or die. It just kind of bumps up your chances of success.
Okay, so that's something that I have not done, and I didn't even know that I should do until I saw that you had done so, honestly. I've just been laying them in trays and putting them in a place where they get some indirect sunlight during the day, and then I've just been spraying them daily. But you're telling me if I cover them with cellophane, I won't have to do that daily.
Right, you don't have to do it daily. And, you know, you'll watch them, and you can definitely do what you're doing and just mist them every day, or you can do this kind of humidity kind of greenhouse effect over the tray, and it buys you a little bit of extra time, and you'll want to watch them, and depending on how deep the soil is and how wet you're getting that soil, you may have to water a bit more often than what I'm recommending. So I do about every 7 days, but you might have to do twice a week. It just kind of depends on, you know, your temperatures and your soil and all of that.
Right. Most of us don't have a greenhouse. So what is the optimal place in our homes to place these?
So a nice warm spot with a really good sunny location. So we want to be, if you've got like a east-facing window that gets a good amount of sunlight in the morning, or even a south-facing window, not right up next to the window, I'd pull it back a little bit because some of these plants can burn when they're right up next to a window. But just a nice, warm, sunny place. You can put a heat mat underneath the tray. They make these nice little heat mats that are about the same size as like a whole tray, a flat of plants that you would pick up at the nursery. So it's not gigantic and it's not taking up a lot of space. And you can put that under it and it will heat the soil from below and get your soil up to about 70 degrees Fahrenheit, which is ideal for plants producing, you know, roots and new growth. And that will really help as well.
These are different from other plants in that other plants that we start, we'd put right directly under lights. And I've learned that you don't want to do that with these.
Right. They can be under grow lights. It's just some of them will burn. They can be, you know, when you've grown these, we say they're full sun, but they're really kind of diffuse, kind of filtered sun. If I was to take my tender succulents, the ones that I have in my house, and pop them outside under a full sun condition, it would scorch the leaves and they would look like they had the worst tan ever, like just blistered
not okay.
Like they went to the beach and they forgot their sunscreen. So we don't want to pop them outside. So if you do take them outside or in a place that has a lot of bright light, you just want to be very careful that you do it gradually and that you do give them a place that has some dappled kind of filtered light.
Right. I want to go back to what you were saying about the cuttings, because I've heard some different types of information. And also, all of the people that responded on the greenhouse page had all of these succulents that were overgrown. One thing about watering. So you said once you actually put them in another pot, cut that stem off and put it in another pot, you water it immediately. And I've read other information that says don't water it for a few days.
Right. So there are a few things there. One of the things is that we can get some root rots if that water or if that soil holds moisture for a long period of time. So that's why some people will not water. Also, if you will cut and then let them sit overnight before you put them into the container, that is what we call callusing. So it gives the plant a chance to heal where you've cut it just a little bit, and that will reduce the risk of rotting. And then you can put it in the soil and you can water right away. So if you give it a little bit of time before you pop it in the soil, there's no problems usually at all if you're going to water right away. And if you do water right away right after you've cut, just be very careful, just be wary, watch your plants closely and don't overwater. The drainage piece is really important on succulents. So make sure you've got holes in the bottom of your trays, holes in the bottom of your containers, and that they're not sitting in water. We want them to drain quickly and reduce that risk.
All right, so now I have all of these beautiful succulents that I've been growing indoors, and I'm learning that most of them I can't put outside in our climate.
I mean, you can put them outside, but like I said, they're going to need that dappled filtered light, and you can do that in the summer, but you're going to have to bring them back in for the fall and winter and early spring. So there are varieties that you can put outside that are very hardy to Utah. There's not a ton of varieties, but there are some, and there are different cultivars within these that are excellent for our landscapes if you like that look outside.
Right. So for those people who really would like to do a few of those outside, I'm going to put mine in pots and bring them in the winter, I guess. For those people who really do want to grow them outside and not have to bring them in, what should they select?
So there are several to select from. There's the sedums, which are usually more of a ground cover, but we do have some big sedums like Autumn Joy that bloom in the fall and are absolutely beautiful and are a really nice showpiece for in the landscape. Big, fat, succulent type leaves on those. And then we have the sempervivums. These are things like hen and chicks, and they come in a wide array of shapes and colors and sizes. You can get them with webbing in between the leaves. You can get them in purples and greens, all different varieties of greens. There's Rotularias and Prometheums. They look a lot like the hen and chicks. In fact, you probably wouldn't notice the difference right off the bat between these plants and the Sempervivums. And then if you really kind of want to get into that deserty look, you can always add, and this isn't necessarily a succulent, but it's a cactus. The Opuntias, which are like the prickly pears, and the yuccas give you that same kind of feel and look in your garden outside, and are very hardy and adapted to Utah climates.
Sheridan, thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing your information about succulents. Tana's been very quiet.
Welcome.
I just thought I'd let you two go. I'm still here, and I was wondering, do we need to hold, if she's willing, do we need to hold Sheridan through the break?
Well, I could talk to Sheridan all day, so that is a real problem.
Sheridan,
if you need me to.
Okay, if you'll hold through the break, maybe we can discuss outdoor succulents a little more.
All right.
After the break.
Sheridan, stand by for just a second. Thank you again for joining us. And the number to call with your questions. If you have questions directly for Sheridan, since she's going to stay with us, give us a call. 801-575-8255 is the number to call. Or you can text us your questions at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you, along with Sheridan Hansen this morning. We've been talking about succulents. We're going to get right back to Sheridan, but I want to take a quick call from Earl here because he's been waiting for about 30 minutes to talk about fertilizer. And Earl, what is your question for Ton this morning?
Not quite 30 minutes, but I'm okay. I'm sitting in a soft chair and enjoying it.
Thanks, Earl.
I've got two questions, actually. First question is, my lawn was neglected last summer a lot, my back lawn. What's the best way to revive that? Does he have any clues about that?
Well, did it just not get water, or what happened?
Yeah, basically didn't get watered as well as it should. I mean, it was still alive, but it was kind of weak.
I would get some fertilizer down. Not now, but any time from mid-April to early May. And let it come back with normal precipitation and the weather, and it actually may come back quite well, as long as it was healthy before.
Go ahead. Like 16-16-8 or more than that?
Even 20-0-0 would be fine. Just something to kind of get it going.
Okay. Well, I was just concerned because if we start the year a little bit drought, I'm concerned I might not be able to get over enough water on it either. So,
well, even watering it with about 1 inch of water a month will keep the roots healthy through the summer. And so that's why I'm saying all is not lost, because I'll bet you that a lot of it overwintered just fine. And let's see where you're at in April and May. And if it still looks pretty tired and like it needs reinvigorated, we can go from there. But I would see how it comes out first.
Okay, one other quick question. Is there any way to get a hold of Bart or have him call me?
Maybe what we could do is take your number off the air, and if Bart calls back in, we can pass that along.
Hey, he's probably listening. I think he's loyal. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to put you on hold, Earl. So we'll put you on hold, and Caitlin will get your number, and we'll have Bart call you. All right. So let's get back to Sheridan this morning. And Sheridan, our first texter, says that they left some succulents outside last night so they could get some sun yesterday. Now the succulent doesn't look dead, but will it die because of that cold?
It depends on the succulent. So if it's one of those tender varieties, I know we got pretty cold last night, and if it was left out, I mean, they may not look initially frozen, but give it a few days, and if it starts to shrivel or looks like it's water soaked on the leaves, then it definitely had some freeze damage. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some damage on it after last night.
Right. For those people who have been growing succulents indoors and would like to take them outdoors in the spring, how would be the best way for them to go about that?
So you're going to have to kind of almost harden them off, like what we talk about with vegetables. When you take them outside and you're getting them ready to plant in the garden, you know how we leave them out there for about a week during the day in kind of a sheltered spot, not in full sun, and bring them in at night. You're going to have to kind of do the same thing with your succulents. I wouldn't take them outside with air temperatures below about 65, 70 degrees. So I'd wait for it to be nice and warm. And then I'd put them in a nice sheltered location, not full sun. I'd leave them out there in the day, bring them in at night until they get acclimated and used to that environment. And then you can leave them out, again, not in full bright sunlight, but a nice dappled sunlight type of situation. And, just be cautious. Remember that they're there, because sometimes we forget that, that they're there, and we'll have a cold snap, and just know that you're going to have to watch them and kind of boo-boo them just a little bit, because they're not totally hardy for Utah climates.
Ton has had a hard time understanding my succulent obsession. What is it about succulents? I'm not the only one, though. I mean, they have really boomed in popularity. Why do you think that is?
Well, they're fun. And I think it's something that, you can bring in the house and They provide so much texture and color, and they're just interesting. And I'm like you. I fell in love with succulents a long time ago, and it's something that I've been obsessed with for quite some time, as is evidenced by all of my social media posts on succulents. It never ends, it feels like. But they just offer something that sometimes other plants can't. And for me, it really is that texture piece. I love the texture of them. They're just yummy to me.
Well, Sheridan, thank you so much. I'm going to answer that question and say they give me joy inside and out.
There you go.
I think that's the exact answer. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's been great fun.
You have a
thank
great
you,
weekend.
Sheridan.
And Ton, thank you for being patient with us in our
discussion. It's all good. My little sister was putting up posts on your succulent post, so it's all good.
I love it. And we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. We are coming back with your calls, your questions. You can call us 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.